Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a penalty to Bayern Munich. 2-1. Harry Kane. Rodrigo on the turn inside the Bayern penalty area, and Real Madrid have a penalty kick. Here he comes. 2-2. Vinicius Junior for Real Madrid.
Well, that was the absorbing clash between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. That was leg one. That, of course, was held in Germany, and now the teams go back to the magnificent stadium that is the Bernabeu, and that will be a massive clash, an absolute beauty. To talk about that and to review a little bit of German football and perhaps to have a little look at the EPL is Dan O'Hagan. Now, Dan is a noted sports commentator in England, a football pundit, and it's great that we have got him on our show this morning. Dan, good morning to you, and thank you for your time.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure.
Now then, this has been quite a resurgence for German football. You keep a very close eye on that, to have two candidates at this stage of the competition as well.
Yes, extraordinary. And Bayern Munich have been a huge surprise because in the Bundesliga, they've been so far behind the new champions, Leverkusen. And Dortmund too, it's almost as if they put all their eggs into the Champions League basket this season and have reaped the rewards. In the domestic league, both have been way, way below par, but they've really saved their best for this competition and a chance of a rematch of that final in 2013 back at Wembley between the two German giants, perhaps.
Now then, the first leg, of course, in terms of Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, if we look at that one first, Dan, probably sees Real going home with an advantage. They got that late goal, which evened it up at 2-2. Is that how you see it, a distinct advantage going home?
Yeah, I think so. I think Bayern, to have a real chance, had to lead into the Bernabeu, and being 2-1 up so late in the game to concede for that 2-2 draw last week. I just see the balance of power now in that tie towards Real Madrid. But don't rule Bayern out. You know, they've got Harry Kane. As I say, they've saved their best form for this competition. Real Madrid as well, they give up the opposition a chance. You know, it'll be an open game. There'll be chances for Bayern. And with Harry Kane in the team, of course, they have they can go on to score goals in the Bernabeu and make it interesting. But I just think for Bayern to be in the box seat, they had to take a lead really from that first leg into this week's second leg in Spain.
Nice little match-up too between Jude Bellingham and, of course, Harry Kane, their English teammates. What about Bellingham's season, his first one with Real?
Extraordinary. You know, I've watched Bellingham's career develop from his days as a teenager at Birmingham to at Dortmund, where he had three amazing years. You know, at Dortmund, he went there a boy, he left a man. And his impact in the first season at Real Madrid, it surprised everybody. To go there as a teenager and to take Zidane's number 5 shirt as well, of course, and wear that with such a swagger, and to score so many goals at the top level in Spain, to be the golden boy as well, the award he won end of last year. You know, Bellingham's star is on the rise. Bellingham is already, at his tender age, a true world star. And he can be, of course, in that second leg, a huge difference maker for Real Madrid.
Dan, Ricardo here, mate. What is it that Bellingham, do you think, has done so well this season? Because I'd imagine where he is at the moment is ahead of the curve of where Real Madrid thought he would be when they brought him in, given that they've got Kroos and Modric, etc., in that midfield.
I think what has surprised everyone is just how he's gone in there already and been a leader. You know, to go into that age, into that dressing room with those world stars you've mentioned there, and to show no fear, feelings of inferiority, to have gone there at that age and said, look, you know, I'm here because I deserve to be here, and to take a leading role on the field, to score all those goals at that age, it is just extraordinary. You look at it, I think a future Ballon d'Or winner, hands down, because Bellingham's, he said that he's ahead of the curve. He's not ahead of it. He's writing a new curve. He is phenomenal for that age. And for his first season in Madrid, he has just been extraordinary.
What about Harry Kane? There's a bit of a cursed theory about Harry Kane. Left Spurs to win things and goes to Bayern. They were knocked out of the German Cup by a third-tiered side. They didn't win the Bundesliga for the first time in 12 years. But here they have this golden opportunity with Harry up front. Are people talking about the Kane curse?
They are, absolutely. A bit tongue-in-cheek, but there's no doubt that Kane went there to win trophies and he's going to have a chance of finishing the season without one. As I say, the Bundesliga way below par. You mentioned there the German Cup beaten by Saarbrücken of the third division in the second round. And now all he's got left is the Champions League. And certainly they begin the second leg as second favourites. But in the league, he's been amazing. You know, the goals he scored, 30-odd goals in the Bundesliga in his first season. It's his most prolific club season of all time for him. But that Harry Kane curse won't go away, will it?
How's Thomas Tuchel going to control Vinicius Jr., scored both goals in the first leg? How are they going to contain this threat with Vinicius at home, of course, and Carlo Ancelotti, a mastermind?
It's going to be very difficult, of course. I'm sure Thomas Tuchel will have a plan to contain him, but you know, Bayern have had an issue all season with conceding goals. You look at their defensive record this season compared to previous years in the Bundesliga, it is nowhere near what they have been. And they do give teams easy opportunities. They are too open sometimes. And, you know, you look at the games against Bayer Leverkusen in the Bundesliga when their flair players like Florian Wirtz, opened Bayern up for fun. And Vinicius Junior could have a field day in that return against Spain because, you know, Bayern, as I say, this season, that old defensive know-how just hasn't been there at all.
First of all, of course, we have the clash between PSG and Dortmund. They're going back to Parc des Princes for that, of course. Mbappe was, I won't say anonymous, but he wasn't a massive factor in leg number one. Of course, they go home trailing PSG. How do you see this one shaping up?
I think PSG are the favourites. That first leg, they hit the post twice. They forced numerous saves from Gregor Kobel. 1-0, I think, did flatter Dortmund. They really kind of, the atmosphere in Dortmund carried that team across the line for that first leg last Wednesday. The PSG will feel hard done by not to have taken at least a draw there. And to have the return leg at home now, they've already beaten Dortmund there in the group stage, of course, back in September as well. I think Dortmund will go there and give it a good shot, but I just think PSG at home, the expectation of all of those Parisians behind them, they'll find a way to score two goals at least in that return leg. So I think PSG, although they're a goal down, do begin this leg as the favourites.
So Mbappe is an interesting character. His footballing ability is never in question, but sometimes the mental side of things is. Where do you think he's at right now?
I think Mbappe on his day is certainly one of the best player in the world at the moment. But I don't think it helps playing in Liga. I just think a player of his ability needs to be playing week in, week out against stronger opposition. And PSG, you know, they steamroll that league most seasons. And I just think Mbappe, to really kick on, he needs to play outside of France. And he's had a good season in the Champions League. He's got a chance now of making the final. But I just feel to be considered one of the real greats, he needs to play in a stronger league. Be that England, be that Spain. I just think Mbappe needs to leave PSG to really fulfil what is an obvious potential still. But he's a great player. He's had a great career so far, but just needs to play, I think, at that higher level to really become a true great of the European game.
They've had a change, have they not, PSG? Luis Enrique has had an enforced change due to a knee injury to Lucas Hernandez.
Yeah, no, Lucas Hernandez at Bayern, of course, had numerous injuries in his career. He's been a defender who has not been robust at times, so obviously that's going to be a big hole to fill for PSG in that return leg. But they certainly have the squad and the resources to fill that hole. And I just think Dortmund, as I say, we spoke of Bayern and the season they have had in the Bundesliga in terms of giving teams a chance. Dortmund, on their day, they can be wide open. I did the game at the weekend where they beat Augsburg 5-1 with a second string, in essence. And that game, again, you know, their defence was wide open. It'd be Mats Hummels and, I imagine, Nico Schlotterbeck, the two centre-backs in that game on Tuesday. Hummels, obviously, towards the end of his career now, 35 years of age. But I just think PSG will have too much for that defence in that return leg.
Dan, in the past, PSG have kind of resembled more of a Panini sticker album than they have a football team. You know, it's been a bit of, let's just get all the names, and they've gone away from that now. Mbappe, probably the last one there. Do you think that they've learned now, the owners of PSG, and this is the way forward, and they could actually be a threat because they actually look like a football team now?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think, as you say, PSG were for so many years the kind of Harlem Globetrotters of football. You know, we'll just buy the biggest names and just hope it all works. Now they've realised, Luis Enrique, obviously a coach with enormous experience himself, that you need more than just superstars. You need a team to be the sum of its parts. And I think PSG, they've learned the lesson slowly. And of course, they had a taste of the final, didn't they, 4 years ago against Bayern in that COVID-hit season. Behind closed doors, and they obviously want to get back there to win the trophy. This is the trophy the whole PSG project has been put together to try to win, and they've never quite got there. And with all those superstars, you know, the picture of Neymar on the field in past defeats, in tears when they've been knocked out before, I just think PSG now are equipped, as you say, there as a proper football team now to maybe win this trophy. But I do feel that, as I said before, because PSG don't play top opposition week in, week out in a domestic league, I do think at this level sometimes they are found a bit wanting.
So in essence, what you're saying, Dan, is you believe Wembley, Saturday 1st of June, it will be PSG out of France, of course, and Real Madrid out of Spain, yeah?
I think so, yeah, but you know, don't rule out the Germans, because you said when we started this that the German clubs have had a renaissance this season in European football, and they certainly have. And both these teams have saved their best form for this competition. And, you know, Bayern going to the second leg level, Dortmund have a lead into that second leg. It's not beyond the realms, but I would just say that I think the two home teams in this return semi-finals will have too much and will book their place at Wembley on June the 1st.
Well, talk about Dortmund that we have this morning so far, and one of their best products of it has been Erling Haaland, of course. He's gone to Manchester City, picked up 4 goals at the weekend. Do you see anyone stopping Haaland and City in terms of the title now? Are they going to drop a game?
I don't think so. I think once Guardiola's team get into that final stretch in the position they are, they're not going to let that bone slip from their mouths now. You mentioned Haaland the weekend again. You know, was it 6 hat-tricks now in 2 seasons in the Premier League? You know, he's making scoring goals at that level look ridiculously easy. And that team, you know, they've obviously got the experience of winning the title before. I just think now in the final stretch, they will not let that lead slip.
Dan, great time of the season this, and there's been a major focus too on the bottom of the league, and it looks like Forest might get out of this, and it could well be Burnley, Sheffield United, and sadly for Luton as well. Do you see anything putting a spanner in those works?
No, I mean, well, what I do think, I think we should look at Luton Town and say what an amazing job Rob Edwards has done as the coach there, because, you know, everyone thought they were going to finish bottom by a distance, but they've been competitive every single round of the league this season. And I think if they were to survive, it would be the most amazing story, but they'll probably just fall short. But we shouldn't look away from Luton Town and what they've managed to do on zero funds, really, to be a competitive force in the Premier League. And there are good lesson to clubs who come up that, OK, You may have no resources compared to the rest of the teams in that Premier League, but you can, with good coaching and shrewd acquisition, be at least competitive. And I think Luton have been that, certainly.
Dan, also of interest too are the Championship playoffs, home and away semi-finals. Of course, there's a beauty between Leeds and Norwich. Massive interest for Daniel Farke, who's a manager at Leeds at the moment, was previously manager at Norwich. So much of it is about him, but also news too of Will Farrell becoming part of the ownership of Leeds. So intrigue about this one.
Yes, there is. Obviously, the kind of Hollywood link again. We've seen Wrexham, obviously, haven't we, in their rise in the last couple of years. But on the field...
Oh, we might have just lost Dan there. Has he dropped out, Brian? Sounds like we might have just he might have just dropped out on us. I'll see if we can get him back, Smithy. But yeah, that as Dan mentioned, you know, with Wrexham, and that's how this Will Ferrell thing came about. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, who own Wrexham, invited Will Ferrell to a Wrexham game, and he ended up staying in the UK for 6 days and going to four different games, and then decided he was going to invest. He's already part owner of LAFC, but he's gone head over heels for the English game.
What would have made him go for Leeds? What would have attracted him to Leeds as opposed to maybe one or two of the others he looked at?
Well, I think Leeds are a bit of a sleeping giant, and they also have an ownership group now that is based out of California. So the owners of the San Francisco 49ers are the major owners of Leeds United. So there's probably a link there somewhere, I would have thought.
Dan is back with us, which is great news. Yes, Dan, we're just talking about the celebrity ownership of Leeds and the importance to this game for Daniel Farke and all his connections.
Yes, exactly. You know, Daniel Farke had 5 years at Norwich, two promotions, okay, two relegations as well. But to finish with Leeds on 90 points and still finish third is incredible. It just shows how good Ipswich have been and Leicester have been in that division. But across the two legs, I would lean towards Leeds. But Norwich, I think, under David Wagner, are gritty, and they too can, you know, pose a threat. They're in the playoffs on merit, certainly.
This is an interesting story, this Wrexham one, because you could get carried away and say it's just a Hollywood movie, really. But in essence, the football side of it's not been too bad, has it?
No, Wrexham, what they did is they got in place a great manager, Phil Parkinson, who... For years now, 20 years has been in the lower divisions, a fantastic, if you like, journeyman manager who's done great jobs wherever he's been. You know, he took Bradford of the fourth division to a League Cup final, didn't he, in 2013? So he was a very shrewd coach to bring in. And they've spent money, but they spent the money wisely. And to go from the conference, or the National League as it is now, into League One in the space of three seasons is just incredible.
Southampton v West Bromwich Albion as well. A lot of interest in this one. Southampton looking to bounce back into the Premier League. Are they the favourites against WBA?
I think so. I think Southampton under Russell Martin, the football they play, if you've not seen them play, they are phenomenal. They play a very, very adventurous, possession-based football, and they'd be a credit to the Premier League. I think across the two legs, yes, I'd favour them. West Brom are the more kind of dour, more kind of gritty, more kind of workmanlike team. But yes, I think a Southampton-Leeds final, I think for the neutral, will be a fantastic watch at Wembley Stadium.
Southampton maybe can learn something from Burnley, do you think, Dan? Because Burnley topped the Championship last season by miles, and everybody thought they were going to be comfortably mid-table Premier League with the football Vincent Kompany had them playing. But they've been found out at Premier League level. What do you see the difference between Russell Martin's Southampton and that Burnley team?
I think we wouldn't know until we see them play in the Premier League. Russell Martin's still a very, very inexperienced coach. You know, he was at MK Dons, and then he got the job, obviously, at Swansea, and now it's at Southampton. So he's not managed at the top level yet. But the football he plays is very good. Whether they have the players to play that way and be successful in the top division, I don't know. Whether they could afford to bring in players of better quality to play that way in the Premier League, we'll have to see. But certainly, Russell Martin's footballing ethos is that of a Premier League coach, and it'd be great to see them. How will they get on if they do get there under him in the Premier League for next season?
Dan, just lastly, before we let you go, mate, the last round of games in the Championship saw Southampton go to Leeds and win 2-1. How important could that result be come Wembley time?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, the psychological boost of having beaten that team so recently would be huge. And Leeds certainly have ended the season with a bit of a whimper. There's certainly, among the Leeds fans, disquiet. Someone, Daniel Farke, had gone as the coach, even though they've got 90 points under him. So I think of the two teams, if they met in the final, Southampton are the ones who've got the kind of, who have got the better mood about the camp and about the club. So, yeah, that result on the last day might carry some weight.
Dan O'Hagan, it's been fantastic catching up with you. Thanks so much for your preview on the Champions League action this week, in particular the next 2 days, and a little preview too, a sneaky preview of the Championship playoffs. Really enjoyed talking to you, Dan, and appreciate your time. Thank you, and have a terrific evening.
Pleasure, thank you.